8:15 p.m. West Pakistan time. 9:15 p.m. East Pakistan time. This is Radio Pakistan. President Zulfikar Ali Bhutto addressed a crowded 70-minute press conference in Lahore yesterday. The president's wide-ranging opening remarks were followed by questions from Pakistani and foreign correspondents. This is Muhammad Idris bringing you a report on the question-answer session. The opening question came from a foreign correspondent asking for an explanation of the disparity arising out of the statements made by Sheikh Mujibur Rahman in London and Dhaka in the context of what President Bhutto had said earlier. The president replied,
"Well, that will open a controversy. I can give an answer. I understand it. The thing is that one thing that is, I think, helpful is that I understand Sheikh Mujibur Rahman perfectly well, and he understands me well. Whatever we think of each other, that we'll tell each other. But we understand each other. He has got an overwhelming verdict from the people of East Pakistan. I have got an overwhelming verdict from the people of this way. We know how our people think, we know how we think, and whether we agree or not, we will understand why he's taking a certain position and why I'm taking a certain position. And our crisis, did not descend on us like a shooting star. It has been going up and up for the last 24 years, and a whole book can be written on it. We inherited it in a way. However, if I say something on this, I'll really be entering into a controversy. But at the same time, I want you to know that when he was here, after I took over, we did exactly what he wanted us to do. There are certain people who say that we should have allowed them to meet him. I put it to him. I gave him their names. And I can say Mr. Khar was with me, Kamal Hussein was there. And he said that no, he doesn't want to meet anyone. And he said that he simply does not want to meet anyone. All he wants to do is to return as soon as possible to Isbah. That was the position. He's there now. He can be asked this question.
Another foreign correspondent asked whether there were any grounds for hoping that links could be retained with East Pakistan, especially when Sheikh Mujibur Rahman had spelt out his posture as the leader of Muslim Bengal.
Give me a little time, and I think I'll be able to explain to everyone's satisfaction why I want some time. And in any case, it is essential that Indian forces must vacate the soil of Muslim Bengal. But this is here a principle is involved. A principle is involved. I respect the leaders of East Pakistan. I respected all elected leaders. I respect the leaders of the majority party. That's not the point. The question is that as long as foreign troops are on the soil of Muslim Bengal, we cannot be inspired by what is being said or done. The confidence necessary is not to be found. Here, Sheikh Mujibur Rahman was in jail. And even after his release from jail, when we put him under custody, I wouldn't even call it custody, the Indian government was saying that, oh, Sheikh Mujibur Rahman might say something under duress. Now, I said in reply to that is that the respect they have for Sheikh Mujibur Rahman? That what duress could we apply on Sheikh Mujibur Rahman when we were prepared to allow him to go and continue? And in any case, there was no duress that we applied or could have applied. But nevertheless, India said that he's in Pakistan's custody, and therefore we fear that what he says may not be the true reflection of his thoughts. Our case is stronger than in that case. On India's arguments, not a reflection on Mujibur Rahman, but taking India's own argument, then our case is much stronger.
Question. Sir, in the context of breaking diplomatic relations with Bulgaria, you stated just now in your opening remarks that you might reluctantly have to repeat the same experience. Now, sir, would you say how many powers, big or small, independent or satellite, do we expect to break relations with? For instance, if Britain and the Soviet Union should choose to recognize Bangladesh, would you snap diplomatic relations with them?
Until we have had this opportunity, and I think we'll have this opportunity soon if India cooperates in vacating her forces, I would expect and I would appeal to the world to wait. And if the world does not give us this opportunity, and some countries in this interim period take this precipitative measure, unwarranted either by the rules of international law or by the existing realities in the subcontinent, then I'm afraid we'll have to break relations. But I want to tell you, I don't want to get into any controversy with the world. It's not our initiative. If they take such an initiative, we will have to consider it.
On a question relating to the changing realities in the subcontinent and possible solutions, President Bhutto replied,
"Well, we have asked on the Indians. I've just stated our position, and also we are in touch with other countries. We are in touch indirectly with India on this question. We are in touch indirectly with India on prisoners of war, on the question of vacation of Indian troops from East Pakistan."
And then to a question on the possibility of Pakistan entering into a defense pact with the People's Republic of China, President Bhutto responded,
I'm very glad you asked this question. I thank you for it. Now, those who are demanding that we have defense pacts with certain countries, they should please first examine the principles and the foreign policy postures of those countries. A certain demand is now being made that we should have a defense pact with China. All right, now I'm planning to go to China. We still haven't been able to arrange the dates properly, but I'm planning to go soon. I will see to it. I will take Premier Chou Enlai's pen from his hand. I'll take Chairman Mao Zedong's pen, and I'll force them to have a defense pact. The point is, for God's sake, let us be reasonable. It's a defense pact. I can't force a defense pact on certain countries. Their countries must take into account their own interests, their own philosophy, their own political outlook. What is important is that there must be understanding, agreement, confidence between countries that have common interests. And on that basis, we are prepared to pursue our foreign policy. Tomorrow, I'll force the United States to give us sophisticated phantoms. I'll say to that, because the resolution is passed by a certain. I can't, you please, now, at least after 24 years, let us reflect some mature thinking in our foreign affairs.
Question. Sir, Air Marshal Nur Khan is on record as having said that when he went to China in 1965, there was a suggestion for a defense pact, and he also said that when Mr. Bhutto went to China for talks recently, there was again a suggestion for a defense pact. Is it true, sir?
In the first place, I don't know what Mr. Nur Khan experience is, but I, as foreign minister, or even now, have never discussed the question of defense pact with the People's Republic of China, because I have some knowledge of the foreign policy of the People's Republic of China.
Question, sir. Talking of another former Air Marshal, Asghar Khan, you have perhaps gone through a very extensively reported statement in a Karachi daily in which he has cast very grave aspersions on your desire, and I'm aware of this, that you have made your own position vis-a-vis martial law and your own reform program abundantly clear, but he has cast very grave aspersions on your desire to lift martial law and restore democracy and constitutional rule. How would you react to this?
Well, you see, then he said, if I don't do it, he's going to launch a movement. Now, the question is, I know all the roads to all the villages, and I'm prepared to give him the map. He can go and start a movement, because this movement, we know what movements mean. And when you launch a movement on behalf of the people, it's a difficult proposition, but it has chances of succeeding. When you launch a movement against the people's interest, that movement cannot succeed. He's quite welcome to start any movement he likes. He's free to do what he says. He can write anything, he can say anything, he can go anywhere. As I said, we're prepared to give him the map to all the villages, because I've been to all the villages. He hasn't yet. So I'll tell him which are the important villages, where people are more politically conscious, where they are not, where they might take him seriously, where they might not take him seriously. We're prepared to do all that. But you will see. You will see, I'm telling you, again and again, you will see. When we move ahead, you'll be able to smell it, you'll be able to sense it, whether we're trying to spin it out, whether we're trying to remain entrenched and things like that. And time will show you soon.
In the same vein, sir, You have perhaps seen Mr. Wali Khan's statement in which he has demanded full provincial autonomy, and he says further that martial law is not really necessary to carry out reforms.
I've given a full coverage on that point. I've spoken on the subject. That's his opinion. He's entitled to his opinion. But I'm holding the responsibilities today, and I know how awesome those responsibilities are.
Sir, are you expecting or speculating that the India-Pakistan conflict will be discussed in conversations between President Nixon and the Chinese leaders in Peking?
I would think so, because a metamorphosis has taken place in the subcontinent with far-reaching implications to not only our two countries and to the future shape in the subcontinent, but to Asia as a whole. It'll have its implications on the policies of the great powers. I'm certain that when the future of 500 million people or more is in the balance, the great powers cannot be oblivious of it. I think they have reason to discuss these matters in depth.
Sir, you said you would also be going to Moscow and Washington. Have you any idea of the dates?
Well, you see, I want to not only go to Washington and Moscow, I want to go to one or two other countries. It's necessary for us. I don't know where I can find the time. It's essential, of course. Washington and Moscow are more important. But then there's Cairo, there's Libya, there's Turkey. And if I have to make quick visits of this nature, I think our people will understand it, because we have to, again, resurrect our image. In the last 9 months, you haven't been abroad. I didn't know how badly damaged it was till I went for this United Nations debate. But it's been badly damaged. And that is not the image the people of Pakistan want to give to the world, because that people of Pakistan are not like that. People of Pakistan are peace-loving people. They have suffered a great deal. They want to progress. They want a progressive Pakistan. They want an enlightened Pakistan. They want to make their contribution to the world. And so it's necessary to put forward our point of view, and especially countries that are important and with whom we have had relations. I would very much like to do all this, but you know, it's again a question of priorities. Sometimes here, these economic matters, India, East Pakistan, constitutional question, prisoners of war, the balance of payments, foreign exchange position, consortium, loans, prices, housing, too many problems, including your journalist problem. You also made some demands. Now the question is, I'm going to concede those demands, but give me a little time. I haven't asked the information minister that there have been some demands made by the Pakistan Union of Journalists. Yes, I haven't seen those. I look into those demands and I will see what we can do. Firstly. Secondly, there's a demand for a removal of repressive laws. Now, if these laws have been brought into being after martial law, I'm prepared to do it tomorrow. But if these laws existed before martial law, then I'll have to have it examined. Because if they existed before martial law, then there must be some background for it. And I can't allow planned anarchy, especially when I feel that in certain elements there is not kind of cooperation. I'd like to see that nobody's in jail. I don't like to see any laborer, peasant or student in jail. I would hate to see that. I would hate to see any political leader in jail. But then you see, then there must be reciprocity also. Now the question is that some people during the war went away to India. They stayed in India. Now they've come back from India. And if they think that, well, they can come back, they can go to India during the war, or before the war, when this trouble started, and come back, then we have to look into their matter. We just can't allow, as I said, planned anarchy. But as far as possible, I wouldn't like to touch anyone who's suffered, or our people have suffered a lot. I don't want anything of that. I've put some industrialists under detention. I don't even want to do anything much there, but if they don't cooperate, then step by step, they'll have to face the music.
When a newsman pointed out that some people fear that the Indian occupation of East Pakistan might take on the same color as the Indian occupation of Kashmir, President Bhutto said,
No, there's a difference in the situation. And in any case, I won't allow that to be a pretext and to see that there's permanent deadlock and we stay put. I won't allow that to happen. I won't allow things to remain put and think it to be a blessing in disguise for a government. Out of the question. We'll see. Why do you take a pessimistic view if we mobilize world opinion as it is? 105 countries have demanded vacation of Indian occupation. Security Council has demanded vacation of Indian occupation. Now the tide is turning in favor of our point of view. The great powers, others, if we also behave sensibly with the great powers and the others, I think then they also will make their contribution. India needs economic assistance from so many places, especially from the United States, other countries. She has to have good relations. There are all factors, and we have to take the fullest advantage, synchronize them, and put it to our benefit. But if all this does not succeed, then of course I'm not going to make it a pretext and say, well, please Indians stay on so that I can continue in this abnormal position. Out of the question.
And then the question began, sir, you said you had 4,000 acres of land. The president cut it short right there and replied,
I didn't say that. I'm glad you asked this question. I said, how should I know 501,000 acres are the ceiling permitted? My children, my family, my wives, we have to take all that into account, and I'll let you know. I can't say, give you an exact figure. My holding is not that. My individual holding is what is permitted by the land reforms of 1958, and I have not changed it. When it cuts, it will be cut from my individual holding.
A newsman interjected, 1,000 acres, I hope, sir, that's not the ceiling you have in mind for land holdings. President Bhutto said,
no, I said that was the ceiling which was in Ayub Khan's time. Unirrigated, 1,000. Irrigated, 500 acres.
Sir, India has said that it is prepared to withdraw its troops from East Pakistan only after bilateral talks with Bangladesh. Would you comment on this?
Yes, since you asked me the question, the Indians, through other countries, have imposed this condition. Now, my reply to it has been that these conditions should not be imposed. Preconditions should not be imposed. Because if we are to have preconditions, then why have negotiations? Did we enter into negotiations with the Soviet Union on the precondition that first we must leave Seato or Cento, or that we should close Barabar and then we should enter into negotiations? No. No country should really impose preconditions of that nature. And if you impose this precondition, then I say there's no point in meeting. Then what's the point in meeting? Because the whole negotiation is on the question of our unity or otherwise. But if you impose the precondition, then it should be first accept the conclusion, the Indian conclusion of the negotiations, and then come for talks, then that's futile. We will see that if we are bogged down, then we'll proceed further. It's not a precondition as such, but it is a reasonable expectation.
Leading to what?
Leading to the final settlement in the whole of the subcontinent between our two wings, the new equilibrium and modus vivendi, between India and Pakistan, a new peace built on just equilibrium and a fair equilibrium.
Responding to a question on Pakistan's future foreign policy, the president said,
I've said in the past, foreign policy not cast in a day. I've said so often that it has to grow, it has to flow, it has to take into account people's interests. But our foreign policy's principles are well known. We want good relations with all our neighboring countries. We want good relations with the great powers. We have had a relationship of friendship and confidence with the People's Republic of China, and that I am determined to maintain, because I don't want to have a relationship of expediency with a great power like China. I would nevertheless think this is not incompatible with our good relations with the Soviet Union, and I want to open a new page of friendship and understanding between the people of the United States and people of Pakistan. I think this to be essential, and you're listening to a former Yankee baiting foreign minister. Let me tell you that it is necessary, and in this war which we had now, I think the United States took a position on principle, on the rules of international law and morality, and we as an honorable and a self-respecting people must take that into account and reciprocate, and this does not make us into vassals or into satellites or into clients of the United States.
To a question on the condition of the economy, the president caught a newsman on his uncertainty whether he wanted to use the word demonetization or devaluation.
Slight difference. We are not going to make any statements on such subjects, because it used to be a lark to hear the former regime talking and debating on demonetization as well as on devaluation and things. These things are not discussed, you know. These are such subjects that you take certain decisions, but I don't think that any such decision is in the offing. But no more I am going to say on the subject. I don't want the economy to run into speculative trends. My whole object is to now bring back the economy on an even keel, to get it going, to get it into motion, restore confidence, and to bring about a reconciliation. This is my first task. Second task is, if you want to rip it and up all over again, let's do it in the assembly.
Sir, do you have any idea in your mind how long you will take to complete the first phase of reforms?
As I told you, I want to keep my date with the people of Pakistan. I don't want to give dates and go back on them. I want to keep each and every date with the people of Pakistan. When I told a leader of Frontier a month ago, I said, I can't say definitely, but I hope that by the 20th or 25th, sometime there, I'll be able to make some announcement about our first movement towards democracy. I want to keep that date. I want to keep every date, because the people of Pakistan have been deceived too much. Especially in the last 2.5 years, every 4 months, the orchestra used to play. And then we saw something entirely different. The credibility of the nation has to be put on a firm basis. So I can't give you a date and go back on it, but you will hear from me from time to time.
Sir, have you any immediate plans to go to Balochistan?
Yes, I'm going there. Well, generally now, since I've put an end to the colonial practice of announcing beforehand when a person goes, because for the viceroys and the governors of British India, this was understandable. But since independence, it's not right when you're traveling in your own country, when you're going from one part of your country to another, that you should make an announcement beforehand. So all the bureaucrats put the necessary lipstick on the files and things like that and conceal everything. I want to go pay surprise visits, go without announcing anything. But since this visit is important, I'll be going there on the 15th.
That was the closing of the question-answer session at the Presidential News Conference. The press conference was held in the Darbar Hall of the Governor's House in Lahore yesterday. About 70 correspondents, including a number of foreign newsmen and important media representatives who had flown in from Rawalpindi and Karachi, were attending. With that, we end our report on President Zulfikar Ali Bhutto's press conference. Your narrator, Muhammad Idris, producer, Afzal Rahman. And that brings us to the close of this national hookup.